بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عرضه صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعوة في مواسم الحج وعلى قبائل العرب عرضه عليه الصلاة والسلام الدعوة على بني عامر وبني محارب أخرج أبو نعيم في دلائل النبوة عن عبد الله بن كعب بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 سنين من نبوته مستخفيا ثم أعلن في الرابعة فدعا 10 سنين يوافي الموسم يتبع الحاج في منازلهم بعكاز ومجنة وذي المجاز يدعوهم إلى أن يمنعوه حتى يبلغ رسالة ربه عز وجل ولهم الجنة فلا يجد أحدا ينصره حتى إنه يسأل عن القبائل ومنازلهم قبيلة قبيلة حتى انتهى إلى بني عامر بن صعصعة فلم يلق من أحدهم من الأذى قط ما لقي منهم حتى خرج من عندهم وإنهم ليرمونه من ورائه حتى انتهى إلى بني محارب بن خصفة فوجد فيهم شيخا ابن 120 سنة فكلمه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعاه إلى الإسلام وأن يمنعه حتى يبلغ رسالة ربه فقال الشيخ أيها الرجل قومك أعلم بنبئك والله لا يؤوب بك رجل إلى أهله إلا آب بشر ما يؤوب به أهل الموسم فأغني عنا نفسك وإن أبا لهب لقائم يسمع كلام المحارب ثم وقف أبو لهب على المحارب فقال لو كان أهل الموسم كلهم مثلك لترك هذا الدين الذي هو عليه إنه صابئ كذاب قال المحارب أنت والله أعرف به هو ابن أخيك ولحمتك ثم قال المحارب لعل به يا أبا عتبة لمما فإن معنا رجلا من الحي يهتدي لعلاجه فلم يرجع أبو لهب بشيء غير أنه إذا رآه وقف على حي من أحياء العرب صاح به أبو لهب إنه صابئ كذاب أرضه عليه الصلاة والسلام الدعوة على بني عبس وأخرج أبو نعيم أيضا من طريق الواقد عن عبد الله بن وابص العبسي عن أبيه عن جده قال جاءنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في منازلنا بمنى ونحن نازلون بالجمرة الأولى التي تلي مسجد الخيف وهو على راحلته مردفا خلفه زيد بن حارثة فدعانا فوالله ما استجبنا له ولا خير لنا قال وقد كنا سمعنا به وبدعائه في الموسم فوقف علينا يدعونا فلم نستجب له وكان معنا ميسرة بن مسروق العبسي فقال أحلف بالله لو صدقنا هذا الرجل وحملناه حتى نحل به وسط رحالنا لكان الرأي أحلف بالله لا يظهرن أمره حتى يبلغ كل مبلغ فقال له القوم دعنا عنك لا تعرضنا لما لا قبل لنا به فطمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ميسرة فكلمه فقال ميسرة ما أحسن كلامك وأنور ولكن قومي يخالفونني وإنما الرجل بقومه فإن لم يعضدوه فالعداء أبعد فانصرف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وخرج القوم الصادرين إلى أهلهم فقال لهم ميسرة ميلوا بنا إلى فدك فإن بها يهودا نسائلهم عن هذا الرجل فمالوا إلى يهود فأخرجوا سفرا لهم فوضعوه ثم درسوا ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النبي الأمي العربي يركب الجمل تزئ بالكسرة وليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير ولا بالجعد ولا بالصبد في عينه حمرة مشرب اللون فإن كان هذا هو الذي دعاكم فأجيبوا وادخلوا في دينه فإنا نحسده فلا نتبعه ولنا منه في مواطن بلاء عظيم ولا يبقى أحد من العرب إلا اتبعه أو قاتله فكونوا ممن يتبعه فقال ميسرة يا قومي إن هذا الأمر بين قال القوم نرجع إلى الموسم فنلقاه فرجعوا إلى بلادهم وأبى ذلك عليهم رجالهم فلم يتبعه أحد منهم. فلما قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة وحج حجة الوداع لقيه ميسرة فعرفه فقال يا رسول الله والله ما زلت حريصا على اتباعك من يوم أنخت بنا حتى كان ما كان وأبى الله إلا ما نرى من تأخير إسلامي وقد مات عامة النفر الذين كانوا معي فأين مدخلهم يا نبي الله؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل من مات على غير دين الإسلام فهو في النار. فقال الحمد لله الذي أنقذني فأسلم فحسن إسلامه وكان له عند أبي بكر رضي الله عنه مكان. My respected elders and brothers, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed us with a beautiful deen. Now is the Mosam of Hajj, the Mosam of Hajj, the season of Hajj. All our Hajis, mashallah, they are now preparing for the final days, for the main days to come. Next week, inshallah, they will start their rituals of going to Mina, and then to Arafat, and then to Muzdalifah, and then to Mina, and between all the arkans, the various rituals of Hajj. So Hajj is something that used to take place in the Ayyami Jahiliyyah as well, pre-Islam, prior to Islam. So the people from throughout, whoever on whatever deen they were, they would come to Baytullah, make the Hajj, and whatever they were taught in their religion, their madhab, they would carry it out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use that opportunity to go to those Hajis and give them da'wah towards Islam. When Nubuwwat was given to him, even he would go to the different tribes and present Islam. So this chapter, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahimahullah brought regarding this aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, where he presented da'wat during the season of Hajj to the various tribes of the Arabs. So he says, Abdullah ibn Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nubuwwat was given to him, for 3 years he propagated Islam, or he kept deen a secret. Then in the 4th year the command came and he made the deen, i'lan of the deen, he openly proclaimed Islam to the people and openly gave da'wah to the people. And then for 10 consecutive years thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the da'wah, give the da'wah to the people, and even in the season of Hajj when the people would come, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to their camps, to their places where they would settle. And he mentions 3 places here: Ukaz, Majanna, and Zil Majaz. These are 3 places Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go, and he would invite them, and he would tell them that who is there that will give me asylum, give me shelter, so that I may convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in lieu of this, I will convey the deen of Allah, you give me shelter, you listen to my talk, Allah will give you Jannah. You accept my religion, accept what I am saying, Allah Rabbul Izzat will give you Jannah. So he says that he would not find anyone that is prepared to help and assist him. To such an extent, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would find out, he'd made some investigations, he'd find out that these various tribes, where they're staying, where they're camping, where they're taking shelter, where are they resting. One is those 3 places, but other places also, he would find out where they are. And then he would go to one tribe, and he would give them the da'wah of Islam. Till other Abdullah ibn Ka'b ibn Malik mentions, the narrator of this hadith, he mentions of this incident, that till Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached a certain tribe, the tribe of Amir ibn Sa'sa'a. And then he mentions that the harm and the retort that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received from this particular tribe, he hadn't received such treatment from anyone else before. He says he came to them and they did not accept him. They were not prepared to listen to him. But they went one step further and they threw stones at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to chase him away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left them till he came to one person, Muharib, from the tribe of Muharib ibn Khasfa. So he came there and he found that there was a very, very old man there. He was 120 years old. So Rasulullah ﷺ spoke to him, gave him da'wah to Islam, that give me shelter, give me protection, give me asylum, I will convey the deen of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will give you Jannat. So this old man said, Oh man, listen to me. Your people know you better. Wallahi, there is no one that will go back. If anyone takes you and accepts you, then there will be no one as worse as them to go back to his people with anything after this Hajj. In other words, if someone accepts you and takes you back to their camp, takes you back to their area, and they prepare to listen to you, then in this whole season of Hajj, there won't be anyone worse than them that could have returned with anything worse than you. So in other words, he also did not give any encouragement. He was not prepared to accept. Rather, he spoke in these kind of words. And then he says, please keep to yourself, stay away from us. And he says that Abu Lahab, he was standing and he was listening to this Muharibi, this old man's speech, what reply he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Lahab, after Rasulullah left and went on further, Abu Lahab went to this old man and he said, you know, I wish if only all the people that are here for Hajj can give him the same reply, then perhaps he would leave his deen. Now, Abu Lahab was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course he did not accept Islam. So he went now, he used to go behind, and this was his message, that how I wish if everyone gave the same reply, then no one would listen to this man, eventually he'll give up propagating his deen. And then he's saying that this man is irreligious. Sabi means he got no religion in his life. And he's a liar, he's an imposter. He's not true, he's not real. What he's saying is all lies. So don't listen to him. So the old man, this Muharibi old man, he says, Wallahi, you know him better, he's your nephew. Plus he's part of your flesh, he's your family, he's your blood, you know him better. And then the Muharibi says, maybe if you know, maybe there's something wrong with him, maybe he's insane, there's some effect on him. If you want, then we've got someone who can treat such people. But now Abu Lahab knew that there's nothing wrong with Rasulullah ﷺ, and he even knew that the message of Rasulullah ﷺ was true. But so that is why when the Muharibi said that maybe something wrong with him, he's insane, he's got some effect of, like how we say, some jinn or jadu or something. So Abu Lahab didn't pay any attention because he knew that there was nothing wrong with Rasulullah ﷺ. And then he says that Abu Lahab carried on. Wherever Rasulullah ﷺ went, then Abu Lahab would go there behind Rasulullah ﷺ to the various tribes of the Arab, and he would shout at the top of his voice, and he would say that don't listen to him, he is an irreligious liar, he is making up his own deen. So this was the da'wah that Rasulullah ﷺ gave during the season of Hajj, going to the people, various places, various tribes. The next incident is one particular incident, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi brought, there's many more. He mentions from Abdullah ibn Wabis al-Abasi, he narrates from his grandfather, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us where we had settled in Mina. And he then gives a vivid description of exactly where they had camped. And he says that we had camped, we had settled near the first Jamrah. You know, the three shayateen, the stones, the pillars that are there. He said the first one. We were camped near there. That now first can be from this side or that side. So he's given an explanation. The one that's closest to Masjid al-Khayf, that masjid that is there in Mina. And he's saying that Rasulullah ﷺ came, he was riding on his animal, and behind him was Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. So Rasulullah ﷺ called us, and he says that none of us accepted his da'wah. He invited us to Islam, he called us, gave us da'wah. None of us accepted, and it wasn't written for us to accept. It wasn't in our good fortune to accept Islam. But when this Hajj season had already begun, we had already heard of Rasulullah, we already heard of this person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and about his da'wah that is inviting people in this season of Hajj, is inviting. So we already knew about this person. Now we see him in front of us, inviting us. He invited us and he says, فَلَمْ نَسْتَجِبْ لَهُ, we did not accept his da'wah. And then the narrator says, amongst us there was one person by the name of Maysara ibn Masruq. He was from the same tribe, Al-Abasi. So he says, Maysara mentioned that by the qasam of Allah, if only we listen to this man, and why don't we take him back to our place, take him back to our locality, and I think that will be the best thing. By the qasam of Allah, his matter, his deen, I think that his deen will become dominant and it will reach every single place. This one Hazrat Maysara mentioned, radiallahu anhu. So the people, his tribe, all the other members of his family, the elderly folk, they said, you know what, please, forget this talk, don't even discuss this now, don't put this in front of us, we're not interested in this. So when Rasulullah ﷺ heard Maysara talking positively, Rasulullah ﷺ was very desirous that maybe Maysara must accept Islam, so he began to speak to him one-on-one. So Maysara mentioned Your speech is very, very nice. What you are saying is very nice. It's full of nur. It's full of light. But my people, they are opposing me. And a man is always with his people, with his nation. So I cannot leave them out. Eventually, I'm with you now. But at the end of the day, I got to live my entire life with my people. So he said, if a person is not with his people and they do not support him, his own people do not support him, then what will happen regarding his enemies? The enemies will give him an even tough time, even difficult time. So Rasulullah ﷺ lost hope and he went away from there. And the people, they eventually, when the time was up, then they went away, they returned towards the people. So on the way, Maysara said, that why don't we go to Fadak? It's on our way, it's en route, we can stop there. There are some Jews there, learned people in the Jews, among the Jews, what we'll call like rabbis, like how we have Maulanas, Imams. There are some learned people, they know the kitabs, they know the books. We'll ask them about this person, see what they have to say. So they went to this, to the Yahud, and they explained to the Yahud that we've come in from Makkah, this is the story. So they took out one big booklet, it was part of a Torah, a section of the Torah. They took out a book, which they had preserved, they had kept it, looked after it, and they placed that book in front, and then they began to read from there. And in that was the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he will be an illiterate Nabi, unlettered. I mean, in other words, no one taught Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll have the knowledge, he'll have ilm, he'll know everything, but he did not get any education under any person. Now, who can teach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? After all, he is the greatest person, so there is no teacher. Allah and was a direct teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says that he'll be ummi, now this unlettered al Arabi, he'll be from the Arabs. He will ride the camel, and he will suffice on very, very little. In terms of his food, he not have lavish or eat to his stomach full. Very little he will suffice, and he'll carry on. He will not be very tall, neither will be very short. And then he explains regarding the hair. His hair will not be curly, neither will it be straight. It will be like in between. And then he says that in his eyes there will be a streak of redness, some red lines or few streaks of redness in the eyes of Rasulullah. So he's given a description from the Torah. And then he says that his complexion will be fair with tones of red. You know, fair in complexion, but there will be some specks of red, redness in it. And then they tell him that if this is the person who invited you, then accept his invitation and enter into his deen, accept his deen. His religion that he's telling you about, accept that religion. Because we have some enmity, some jealousy for him, and we are not prepared to follow him, we will not follow him. Now the jealousy was that the Jews of Medina and the outlying areas, they wanted the Nabi to be from the Jews. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala decreed the Nabi will be from the Arabs. So they were not prepared that we must subjugate ourselves and listen to an Arab. So they always thought that they were the upper class, the higher class. So that is why they were jealous of this, that Nubuwwat was given to a non-Jew. So they said, we will never obey him, we will never follow him, we will never listen to his teachings. And then the Jews are saying that we will have many battles and we will go into battles on many occasions, and great battles, big battles we'll fight. And then he says, from the Arabs, there'll be none left, except he'll be in one of two positions. Either he'll follow him, or either he'll fight with him. So now the Jews are telling them, كُونُوا مِمَّا يَتَّبِعُوا, that some will follow him, and some will fight with him. But be among those who follow him. Don't fight him. Be among those who follow him. So Maysara now got so excited and happy, and he said, you know what, O people, now the matter is very, very clear. So the people said, we'll return next Hajj. Next year we'll return, we'll meet him. Or in one way, if you read it, it can be a question. You want us to return now and meet him now? Like, you know, there's something impossible. We already left for home. And one way, if you read it, is we'll meet him next year for Hajj. So they returned to their homes, and none of them were prepared to go back and listen to him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, few years later, he made hijrah and came to Madinah Munawwara, and then eventually when he made his Hajjatul Wada, his farewell Hajj, the last Hajj, the one Hajj that Rasulullah made, the only Hajj, but that was known as Hajjatul Wada because it was few weeks or months before the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he made the Hajj, then Maysara met him and immediately recognized him. He said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he goes up to him and says, Ya Rasulullah, that you remember me, I am Maysara, and I was always wanting to accept Islam and to follow you since that day you came to us. But whatever happened, happened, and my people were not prepared to accept Islam. That is why today, that is why there was a delay, and today only I am accepting Islam. And then he says, all those others, majority of those that were with me on that safar of Hajj few years back, majority of them that were with me, he says, O Nabi of Allah, they have passed on, they have passed away, they have left this world. And then he Maysara asked that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is their position? Where will they be? But the qasam of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, tell us, where will they be? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, كُلُّ مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. That in principle, whoever dies on any religion other than Islam, that person will burn in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. So those people who came with you few years back, they did not accept Islam, then or later, they passed away in that condition, they will burn in Jahannam, they will be in the fire forever and ever. Now Maysara on one side sad for them, but on one side happy that Allah had protected him, Allah saved him. So he says, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has saved me, protected me, and he accepts Islam, and his Islam was very good, he was a good Muslim, and in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, also Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had good and high regard for Hazrat Maysara radiallahu ta'ala. So these my beloved brothers, we hope inshallah all our hujjaj day, they'll do the gush also inshallah, they'll do the amal day, the amal of hidayat and the amal of nubuwat, all came from those Mubarak places inshallah. Those of us that have been there, we know how it is, mashallah, to do gush, especially on the day of Mina and Arafat and wherever, even Muzdalifa also, but especially in Mina, when the opportunities are there and the masses are there to go. And those of us who haven't been, inshallah, may Allah Pak take us one day, inshallah. Say Ameen, inshallah. So, beloved brothers, this was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the beautiful qualities that came, and it's mentioned also in this incident, is Haris. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that, you know, when you see a person is hungry and he eats, and when a person is greedy, he just greedy. The word haris, we won't translate as greedy, we'll say desirous. Extremely desirous on the hidayat of the people. That the people must be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This was the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we come to the Shab-e-Jummah, Shab-Guzari, Laylatul Itikaf, whatever we call it. We have come to get this fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how we can save ourselves and save mankind from the fire of Jahannam. We all make niyat inshallah. This work is not a work of 3 days and 40 days and 4 months and 1 year and 5 amal and 4 amal. This is a work, a responsibility, and it's an amanat, it's a trust, and it's a work that we have to do till we die. We all make niyat inshallah, that till we die inshallah we'll do this work. And how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every season, every occasion, every opportunity, he did the effort of da'wah. If Ramadan came, he increased. Hajj came, he increased. Jihad came, increased. We have to have that same jazba in us also, that same fervor in us also, that same desire in us also, that we look for opportunities also, inshallah, to give da'wah, inshallah. We all make niyat. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. We have come to a great mahol here, a great environment. What a beautiful environment where you listen to talks of deen. And now we've got this, our weekly ijtima is like a reminder for us that once a year we have our annual ijtima, how we can make fikr for that ijtima. And our annual ijtima is a reminder for us that our main ijtima will take place when we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So this these little gatherings are to prepare us for that great day when we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us use this time that we come here, we use it profitably, use it nicely, spend it properly in amal, so that shaitan doesn't get the upper hand, inshallah. And after Asr, we may have heard in the bayan also, those of us that were here, that keep the cell phones away, there's all distractions. Now we have here in the Shab Guzari till tomorrow morning, amal. In the night we have 4 amal to make. One is long, long rakats of tahajjud salah. Wake up, mashallah, tahajjud ends now very, very late. 5:18, somewhere around there, 5:18, 5:19, somewhere around there tahajjud ends. In Hadith Sharif it comes, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that winter is the spring of a believer. Winter is the spring of a believer. Now, there are two different seasons, but Rasulullah mentioned spring because in spring everything starts blossoming and everything starts coming nice, and the flowers growing, the plants growing, and the trees and the fruits and everything. The atmosphere also becomes nice. So Rasulullah said that winter, although it's winter, it's cold, but for the believer it's a spring. Why he mentions this, Ulama explain that the nights are long, it's easy to, you can have a full sleep and you can still wake up for tahajjud salah, and the days are short, you can keep fast. Now we're also in Zilhijjah, the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, those who got himmah to fast all 10 days means that till the 9th day, till Arafat day, we should fast inshallah. Those who cannot fast the Monday and Thursday, at least we get that sawab. And if we cannot do that, the least that we all can do inshallah is fast on the 9th of Zulhijjah, which is next week Friday inshallah. So the first thing we're going to do in the night now is long rakats of tahajjud salah inshallah. So we wake up early inshallah, half an hour, 1 hour, and read as much long, if we know surahs, yaseen, whatever surahs we know, read those in the to make the rakats long. If you don't know, then the short surahs, read all the short surahs, and again read next rakat, read all the short surahs again. So let's make lengthen our rakats inshallah. We all do that inshallah. So that's the first thing. Second is, we're going to make Quran Sharif tilawat in the night. Inna Quran al-Fajri kana mashhuda. Special angels come down to witness the tilawat of the night. That is why Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah used to mention, the amount of nur I get in my reading Quran Sharif, looking inside at the time of tahajjud, I don't get in any other ibadat, in any other amal. So make it a habit inshallah that tahajjud time also we dedicate some portion for Quran Sharif tilawat inshallah. If we can look inside, there's nur in the Quran. And thirdly, it will make zikr. وَذْكُرُ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. That we make zikr in such a way, with so much of concentration and dhyan, we cut ourselves off from everything and everyone. And it's just us and Allah, us and Allah, us and Allah, 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 zikr. We don't make loud zikr when people are sleeping and in a masjid, everything. Otherwise at home, if there's no one there or something, we can be a little loud where we can hear, it's better. It has more effect on the heart. And we make zikr in such a way that in the Hadith Sharif it comes, that person who remembers Allah in solitude, alone, quietly, and tears flow down his cheeks, Allah gets so happy, Allah guarantees that person a place under the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah, when there'll be no other shade but the shade of Allah's arsh. We all want that inshallah. So we make zikr at the time of tahajjud inshallah. And our elders, Muhammad Sulaiman Ganji, and all the elders, they say, we got our morning tasbihat, we got evening tasbihat. As much as we can, if we can finish all our tasbihat in the morning, then in the whole day we are free for our amal of da'wat and taqazas of deen and our other works, whatever responsibilities we got, we are free. So try to finish all our tasbihat, all our ma'mulas in the morning. And the fourth amal that we have to make is dua. That's the time when Allah Rabbul Izzat in the Hadith Qudsi, He comes right down to the lowest heaven, sama'ud dunya, and hal min sa'ilin, hal min kaza, hal min kaza. Allah asks, is there anyone that's got any need? Anyone that's asking, anyone that's got problem, I am ready. Now Allah is ready, but we are not ready. Allah is ready to give, we are not ready to ask. So we all make niyat, inshallah, we're going to wake up early. Who says, inshallah, we're going to wake up? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever time, 4:30. Every day our elders say, dua we should be making. Half an hour is minimum dua we all should be making every day. If you cannot make the half an hour one time, you make 15 minutes in the morning, another 5-10 minutes later in the day, like that, another 5-10 minutes. But we must have a target of minimum 30 minutes of dua in a day. Dua for ourselves, or ummah, don't forget anyone. Our Muslim brothers and sisters, various parts of the world, wherever they're going through, whatever halal, make dua for them. The hidayat of the people, our upcoming ijtima, 8, 9, 10 August, from now we make dua for that. We all make it, inshallah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. We all, inshallah, now proceed for our meals downstairs, so keep the adabs and etiquettes of eating also in mind, the sunnah way, we don't waste. When we finish, we clear up also. And we have the jazba of sharing, making ikram. And inshallah, we sleep early. If you're not sleeping, then we should be engaged in da'wat or ibadat, ta'lim, ta'allum, zikr, ibadat, khidmat. In some amal, we should be engaged. We sleep early, then we can wake up early, inshallah. And avoid layani, things that does not concern. Now we start discussing this and talking dunya and talking this and talking that. Layani is that which does not concern our deen and dunya. Who's playing which game, where they're playing, how many runs, or how many scores, or how many goals, how it affects us, how it affects a believer. It doesn't affect us. So we don't discuss all these things, who's in charge here of this country, and who's happening here, and what's happening there. We leave all those discussions. So layani is called that which does not concern our deen or dunya. Inshallah. And then when we sleep in the masjid, inshallah, we put something thick down in the masjid, or a bedin or blanket or something, and then we sleep. Do not sleep on the carpet of the masjid or any part of the masjid without putting anything down, inshallah. Look after our valuables. If we got something expensive, valuable, then do not leave it exposed. Keep it hidden. First of all, we come Shabguzari, we shouldn't bring these things. But if you brought something valuable, for whatever reason, then keep it such that no one's eyes fall in. It should not happen. Our negligence becomes a means of our Muslim brother committing a sin. He now sees something there, he doesn't want to steal, but you left it lying there, he's tempted to steal. He steals, he becomes a sinner, and we were the means of him becoming a sinner. May Allah protect him and protect us also. And then we wake up early, inshallah, then azan will go at Subah Sadiq, and Jamaat here is at 5 past 6. What time is Jamaat here? 5 past 6. 6:05 will be the Fajr Jamaat, and after Fajr, inshallah, there will be a Bayan. We all should sit in the Bayan also after Fajr. So we all make niyat, inshallah. Who say will wake up for Tahajjud tonight, inshallah? MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala accept. Allah reward everyone. Jazakumullah. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونستهديك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه برحمتك يا رب العالمين.